Hello, everybody. I'm Hank Wilson with the CTC Ministry. And today I want to talk about leadership, especially as it pertains to those who lead us in our churches and our government. It is important that we always ask ourselves, what kind of leaders do we follow? Do our leaders inspire us to be better? Or are they simply telling us what we want to hear and leading us down the primrose path? As Christians, it is important that we pay attention to what our leaders are actually saying, and just as importantly, we must pay attention to how they behave. We have been warned time and time again that there are those who will take the Word of God and bend it and use it to manipulate us. It has happened as far back as the time of the apostles. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, Paul writes about just such occurrences. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. Then in 2 Peter 2:1, we are told of the rise of false prophets. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. I believe that today, more than ever, we are seeing leaders who are not following the mandate of Jesus when he said to go forth and make disciples of the whole world. In fact, many of our church leaders are doing the exact opposite. They are trying their best to have people only follow them and not the teachings of Jesus. But how can we understand what types of leaders we're seeing and that we have? We have to understand there are various types or styles of leadership. And after this little message, I hope each person, each and every one who hears this message or reads these words will take a step back and look carefully at the people they are following. Whenever I think about leadership, especially in a church, I try to figure out what is the leadership style of the person in charge. Is it charismatic, participative, situational, transactional, transformational? Are they a quiet leader, or are they a servant leader? The type of leader or leaders each church has and how we relate to that type of leader can mean success or failure on our spiritual walk. Let's take a look at these types and ask ourselves if our church leadership fits any of these categories. The charismatic church leader. They gather followers through their force of personality. They can be very charming, and they seldom exert any type of external power or authority. It's always me. They can often build up almost a cult following. It is very much a ministry of me or I. You'll notice their ministries quite often use their personal name. It's almost as if you're supposed to worship the person rather than God. A participative leader, well, rather than making autocratic decisions, they seek to involve other people in the process, possibly including subordinates, peers, superiors, and what we call stakeholders, other people who are involved. You're going to find this in most of the mainstream denominations. Situational church leaders. This is a very fluid type of church leader. When a decision is needed, an effective leader doesn't just fall into a single preferred style. They sit back and they wait. You know, much like a transactional or transformational method, what they do is in practice, as they say, things aren't quite always that simple, so they have to adapt. The transactional leader, now, they're going to work through creating clear structures whereby it's clear what is required of everybody, of all their subordinates. And let's be honest, when you're in a church, you are a subordinate. You have to follow the leadings of your elders and of your pastor or your main minister. And everybody gets rewards. We get rewards for what you do for following those orders. Punishments, well, they're not always mentioned except in some churches. but they're also well understood. I mean, we see it. People get kicked out of churches all the time. They're excommunicated. They're called heretics. And they have formal systems of discipline are usually in place. We've heard multiple times about how you'll be called before a church council in order to explain and defend yourself. Now, transformational leaders, wow, these are the pastors, these are the ministers, the ones who go out and are missionaries. They start with the development of a vision, a view of the future that will excite and convert potential followers. I've seen this in cowboy churches. You got a vision, a new kind of church, a new kind of way of delivering the gospel, delivering the message. Now, the vision that your leader could have could be developed by him or by a senior team, a group of elders. Or it can emerge from a broad series of discussions. The important factor is that the leader buys into everything, hook, line, and sinker. You got to believe in what you're preaching. You got to believe in what you're doing. You're not going to transform anybody if you don't believe in it yourself. Now, the approach of quiet leaders, well, this is really the opposite of the charismatic, okay, and even transformational. These leaders base their success not on ego or force of character, but on their thoughts and actions. You're going to again see this in a lot of mainstream denominations. Now, they are strongly task-focused. They have to be. And when you're running a church, you have to be very task-oriented. They're not bullies, nor unnecessarily unkind, and going to try to persuade people through rational argument and a form of benevolent leadership. Okay, so those are the main forms that you're going to find in a lot of churches today. You're going to find quiet leaders, mainstream denominations. They're still going to do their best to excite you and get you to change your way. They want you to work. They want you to do something. They want you to get involved. Okay. Charismatic. These are the me. Look at me. Look at my $8,000 suit. You can have this kind of suit. You can have these watches. You can do all of that. That's a charismatic leader. The one that I personally favor is called the servant leader. They serve others rather than others serving them. Serving others comes by helping people to achieve and improve. If you think about the Gospels, okay, this is the type of leader that I personally believe Jesus was. And there's two things we need to look for in a servant leader. The people served grow as individuals. I want everybody to become healthier, wiser, more able to think for themselves, okay? And to do for themselves, and also to become servants of others. And it's not about me. A servant leader, servant leadership benefits those who are least advantaged in society, okay? Leadership has to help other people. That's what the church is all about. That's what the Gospels are all about. That's what Jesus was all about, helping those who could not help themselves. Jesus didn't preach to the rich and famous. He preached to the poor, and some folks say helpless, homeless even, lepers. Remember them? See, a good leader inspires hope. Now, this is really a leader that has several qualities all kind of wrapped up in one. You can be charismatic. You can get people motivated. You're able to inspire by sharing hardship and identifying with other people. It's written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings." Okay, so we can identify our leaders, okay? A good leader is going to inspire hope. But what happens when we wonder about our leaders? How can we help our leaders? Well, we can request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another, as in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, and 13. In other words, encourage them, okay? Don't discourage them. Don't disparage them. And when you begin to feel you're being discouraged by your current leaders, well, remember, nobody's perfect, okay? I've noticed today, especially in the world of social media, people are railing against others, calling them names, accusing them of doing wrong. And we sit tall in our saddle of self-righteousness. And when we're doing that, how about we start remembering the story of the woman accused of adultery? They were saying this, testing him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he sat down and wrote on the ground. And not a stone was thrown. That's in John 8, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Have you ever noticed how much there's so much condemnation about people, especially in social media and on the news, accusing this person and that person of being a sinner or doing this wrong and that wrong? And so often, none of those people that are doing the accusations are near perfect. Heck, most of them aren't even good. Okay, enough with the rush to judgment that we see in our media and in our churches. Remember, it's not what they promise, it's what they actually do. If they're preaching one thing and doing another, then we have to be able to understand that they're not the leaders God wants us to follow. Jesus taught us in Matthew 7, 15 through 20, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." If someone preaches a strong moral code, okay, strong moral code, and then commits multiple sins, including lying. If they're a politician, you know they're lying. A lot of preachers, same thing. Sexual abuse. They're showing seems greed, lust, and all the other, they call them the seven deadly sins. We know what they are. We have to reject them. If you've got a leader who's preaching hate, I'm sorry. That's the fruit of what they are producing. With the remarks of certain Christian influencers as they renounce their faith, or some evangelical preachers or who preach Christians must have worldly political power, or politicians who claim they have biblical authority for their action, I'm sorry. That's just wrong. That's not the gospel that Jesus taught. That is not the gospel that Jesus taught. Now, they'll defend themselves. They'll go back and say, "Well, in the Old Testament, it says this." Well, that's the law of Moses. If you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You have to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. I am Hank Wilson. This has been a production of CTC Ministry, teaching the Word as it once was taught. Remember, by putting into action the teachings of Jesus, the words we find in the gospel, and using the wisdom from the Old Testament, we can build a great tool set for dealing with life's everyday challenges. No matter the issue, there are answers in the Bible. You just have to look. Just make sure you don't take things out of context. Because when you do that, you're doing that in order to feel better about what you want to do. Remember, read the verses above and below any quote you hear from a preacher, even me, to make sure it's being used as it was originally meant to be used. God loves you. If you need a prayer, have a question about the teachings of Jesus and the Bible, or you just want to chat, I'm here. Visit the contact form on the site. Get in touch. I'll talk to you later. God bless y'all, and peace.